Hi, everyone. Welcome to our next episode of our Big Unlock podcast. We're in season six now with 180 plus episodes. And today we are welcoming Matt Blozel on our podcast here today. And he's the CEO at DexCare. Welcome once again to all our listeners. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi. I'm the co-host here at the Big Unlock podcast and managing partner at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And welcome to the podcast.
Super excited to be here with the Ritu, you and with Matt. I'm the Rohit Mahajan. I'm the CEO and managing partner at Big Rio and Demo Consulting and the co-host of this podcast. Over to you, Matt.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Matt Blossel, CEO of DexCare. DexCare, I'm very familiar with not only this space in healthcare, but also being part of high growth companies. DexCare is my seventh venture private equity backed company. And so excited to talk about everything that we have going on here at DexCare.
Great. So we'll jump right in, Matt. Our listeners always love an origin story. So we would like to hear, you know, how you got to where you are today. And also very interestingly, like you mentioned, this is your seventh, gig. But I think something that's different here is that, you know, on our intro call, we had mentioned that DexCare had already gone through a very steep curve when you came in. And usually it's the other way around where you're helping the company grow and really get into that phase. So how has it been different for you, you know, this time? And what lessons, you know, have you learned or what do you think the difference has been?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I reflect on my career, I've typically not been the founder of businesses. I've come in usually at some sort of inflection point. And so when you think about DexCare, DexCare was actually a unique story in that it was incubated within Providence Health and then spun out and then had 3-4 years of hyper growth. And, you know, the company got to a point that a lot of high growth companies do where they're at an inflection, right? And what takes, you know, what I always say is what it takes to get from idea on napkin to, you know, a certain point takes one often skill set and then taking it from, let's just call it point B, then to point C, whatever that, you know, measurement is. A lot of times it takes a different kind of viewpoint. And so for me coming into DexCare, it was a very familiar point for me where well-established business, great clients, has experienced a lot of growth, but the hurdle, if you will, or taking that next step in maturation of the business requires, you know, really looking at things differently. And that's what I've done here at DexCare. And I've done actually certainly throughout the last probably 15, 20 years is really come in and taking a look at a well-established business and figuring out, okay, how do we get it to the next level?
So Matt, this is super interesting. Could you please share with us your interest in healthcare? What got you started into healthcare? And talk with us a little bit about your story and your journey to where we are at today.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that it's the typical story. I actually spent most of my career not in healthcare. My wife is actually a physician. So I always said to myself, I don't really need to go into healthcare. And then about 12 years ago, I had a private equity firm tap me on the shoulder and ask me to come help scale a healthcare technology business. And it was funny because as we were going through kind of the mutual diligence process, I remember saying to them multiple times, if you want somebody that has healthcare experience, I'm 100% not the guy. And they said, no, we need somebody to come help build and scale this business. We have enough domain expertise within the company. And it's interesting because I didn't really understand it at the time, but I really understand it now in my career where most companies, you get to a certain point, you know, we were 200 people, you have plenty of domain expertise at that point, right? Yeah. But what's a lot of times you're missing is kind of that foundational experience, right, of getting it to the next level. And so anyways, I spent 7 years building and scaling that company. We had a very successful exit. It's funny because in between that company, Xperity, and DexCare now, I actually went outside of healthcare, spent 2 years helping building and scaling a very different company. And when DexCare opportunity came up, I was really excited to get back into healthcare. Again, something I never thought I would say, but I really enjoy it. I would say the reasons for that are, I think we all know healthcare is extremely complex. I would say extreme because of that complexity from a technology perspective, farther behind than other industries. And so for me, as somebody that likes to come in and get into messy situations, messy industries, this is a good one, right? Because there's a lot that needs to happen, a lot that we can catch up on. And then, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, it does feel good, right? With what the output of what you're doing. I've worked for, you know, businesses before where we were helping Fortune 500 companies make more money and do things like that. This has a different feel. You know, I spent 7 years building a company in the urgent care sector where we got to see the direct results, right? They got to see more patients, have more engaged patients. In fact, that business I was with through COVID. And so we saw the impact that our software had, not just on the providers, but on the patients as well. And so there's an element to where I've been missing this feeling for a long time in my career, which is really feeling like you're all the hard work that you're doing every day. It's not just technology. It's the downstream effect of that really makes you feel like you're making an impact.
Yeah, you're genuinely making a difference. And I think that is really good. Yeah. So Matt, it was interesting that you mentioned Providence and how, you know, it was spun out of Providence. And I think in our earlier chat, you had mentioned this culture of co-innovation that you had, where you always work with your customers to innovate rather than just building something and then trying to sell it to the customers. So that was a very interesting and different perspective. So we would love to hear more about that, the co-innovation culture and how you kind of fostered that at DexCare.
Yeah, it's interesting because typically when you think about co-innovation or even customization, right, that's typically seen as a negative attribute, right, within a SaaS business, right? Ideally, you build a piece of software and there's as minimal customization or configuration as possible. Ideally, you take it out of the box and you can plug it in with every client. That's not realistic, in my opinion, certainly within, I would say, healthcare in general, but for us, focusing on large health systems, having a one-size-fits-all product just really won't work, right? I don't think you'll get mass adoption of it, and you certainly won't get full benefit from it. And what's really cool about where we are from a technology perspective is that you can do customization at scale or innovation at scale. So often when you think about innovation, you think about that being a one-time event. We innovate this product and then we sell it to all of our customers. What we're able to do now and the mentality that we've taken at DexCare is every single client of ours is innovation. And we're innovating for that health system. They all have different priorities. They all have different workflows. They all have different system and data capabilities. And so we look at innovation on an individual level that we're coming in and we're helping innovate using obviously our core platform, but making it very applicable to the environment in which we're implementing it. And that's something, again, that's a, it's mindset shift, because so often that's thought of as a barrier to scale. And what we've proven is that, and obviously with the help of, you know, technology and certainly with the artificial intelligence disruption that's happened, we can just move data, process data faster than ever before. And so we're leaning into that, not as a disadvantage, but actually as an advantage, not just for our customers, but a competitive advantage for the company overall. And it's interesting because I still have to explain that, right? Because you think about the investor community, right? And they still, you know, they see things that, well, wow, this, you have individual installs, if you will, at different clients. Wow, the economics on that can't be great. And we've actually proven that to be not the case.
Okay, great answer. I think this kind of ties into my next question where, you know, I was going to ask you about definitely now with the rapid changes in technology, but even previously, most times, you know, the technology innovation at a company kind of gets bogged down or doesn't succeed, not because of the inherent technology itself, but more of a cultural issue because people are like resistant to change or they're more, you know, kind of entrenched in their ways of thinking. So it's very interesting where you're saying that you've done this innovation at at scale and you actually innovate for every single client. So how do you kind of make sure that that culture permeates the company from ground up and everybody's bought into that vision? Because otherwise, I don't think this could succeed if people are like, you know, holding on to like old ideas or want to do the same thing each time.
First, I will point out that this is a journey, right? I would never suggest that we're at the end point of that. It's a never ending journey. But yes, it comes down to the people and the leadership. Yeah. And that was something, you know, here at DexCare that it's interesting because at DexCare, we came out of Providence and took on the second largest health system in the country, Kaiser Permanente. And so, to a certain degree, the early years of the company were really just, how do we stay pace with our existing customers because they're so large, so complex, that innovation was pushed to the side because we didn't have to, right? We had a really great core product that solved a very palpable, if you will, problem within health systems. And so we didn't need to necessarily innovate at that point, right? It was, how do we get, basically take this product to market at a mass scale? And so when you get to the point of that, like I mentioned, we're at an inflection point where we have a great foundation of the business. Now, how do we build upon that? That's a culture shift, right? And I think, you know, there's been a lot of things that I've tried to bring to DexCare to do that. One, I think it comes down to leadership. Fundamentally, I tell the team all the time, I want us to fail more. And a lot of times that's a head scratching leadership, you know, message, but it's true. And that if we're not failing, that means we're not pushing the envelope. Now, you got to fail in a controlled way. And as long as we're taking a really intentional, data-driven approach to the bets that we make, not every bet's going to work out. And so creating an environment where that is acceptable, that sounds very easy. And it sounds like you could just say that once, but how you show up every day and even take the little failures that happen and really start to celebrate those starts to make people realize that that's actually progress. We all know, right? You learn more from your failures than you do your successes. And so when I advise companies, I always encourage them to really be intentional about how they create that culture of learning. And part of learning is failing, because I find that a lot of times, you know, the CEO or the leadership team will say, oh, yeah, we support that. Well, do you really? And how do you show up every day in that? So to me, it starts with a leadership discipline. The other thing that's been important at DexCare is we've had to fill a number of experience gaps. And what I mean by that is, so often we hire people for today, for our immediate need, because we have a role that needs to be filled. We have capacity that we need to go fill. In reality, I find that a lot of times I look for, especially in key positions, filling experience gaps, which means I need to hire somebody who knows where we need to be in 2 or 3 years. They've seen it. They've been through the cycles, because at that point, they understand, right, what innovation really looks like, what failure looks like. And so for me, filling some experience gaps and getting people in there that have been through the cycles is really important. In a high growth company, unfortunately, we just don't have the time advantage for everyone to kind of experience this for the first time, you know, overused term, but like learn on the job. I need people that have been there and they've done it successfully. They've also seen when it's not successful. And I find if you can get those people in, you can start to push the innovation envelope because they provide perspective to the rest of the team. And that's really, really important in order to create an innovation culture. So those are the two things that really come to mind, is just a leadership mentality and then also getting key people in there that have done it before.
That's definitely a recipe for success, no doubt about it. Yeah. So Matt, I would like to chime in. You were previously mentioning the infusion of AI across the board in your approach with your clients and also the product and the services that the company is offering. So tell us a little bit more about what does DexCare do and how does it help the clients, and how did you think about infusing the AI into the entire approach and the product and services as well?
This is a conversation that I have in some capacity every day, because AI is an inflection point. It's arguably the largest one we've seen. It's the one that's evolving at the most rapid pace that we've ever seen. So before I talk about DexCare, I'll talk about just health systems in general, because it's very interesting to me to keep that in perspective, because you can't pick up the paper any day and not see the gold rush of companies that are doing AI this, AI that. And what's interesting to me, especially within healthcare, is first, there's still a lot of apprehension around AI. There's AI governance committees within health systems that have been set up. And so there's a degree of education that still needs to happen. While we can do these things, AI enables us to do things that we've never done before. It's going to take a little bit of time to get health systems and healthcare in general comfortable with the risk associated with it. And obviously, this is more real, right? I mean, if you take it to the point of treating patients or take it to the point of using patient data, right? There's real risk associated with that. And so there's going to have to be some time for this to prove itself out. And so while technology is ready to go today, the adoption of that in mass is going to take a little bit of time. So I feel like health systems, healthcare providers are still trying to get their arms around what it means to their business. The second thing that I'm hearing a lot within the healthcare ecosystem is, even once AI gives us the data or the insight, that's only part of it, right? We would still need to change the workflow. How do you change how we go about doing our business, whether that's scheduling a patient, whether that's treating a patient, whether that's following up with a patient? You have to change the workflow. Just having the prompt, meaning the data or the insight, that's just the starting point. And going back to, you know, what we said earlier about healthcare being slow to change, it being very complex, AI can deliver a lot of great things, but we really need to partner with our clients to help them understand, okay, now that you have this data or intelligence, here's what you need to do differently. That takes time. That is complicated. And so there needs to be some level of empathy to going beyond what just the technology can provide. So I think those are two really important kind of elements when you think about where is AI within healthcare today. So how does that transfer to DexCare? To us, I don't look at AI as a project that's off to the side. It's quickly becoming standard infrastructure, right? It's a like a new coding language, right? It's not, you know, something that's off to the side. So for us, it's interesting because the tendency is to go and chase the next new thing that you can go do now that you have this capability. And well, where we started at DexCare was, wait, how do we just do what we do better, whatever better means, more efficiently, more impact, now that we have this new capability? And so we've really started to take an internal look at it, say, how can we just, even for internal operations, how do we use it? Forget about what we take to our clients and our products and services. How do we use AI to write code better, communicate with our customers better? Then secondly, let's think about it relative to our existing products. Before we go crazy and start to innovate and really develop new products, what does AI offer us to make our existing products better? And so we have a roadmap that goes well into next year that you could argue doesn't necessarily even have incremental revenue associated with it, but it's innovating within our existing products. But then obviously now you go to kind of the third component of that. Once you go from internal operations to existing products and services, true innovation, it has changed the game for us, because what used to take 6 months to rapid prototype or build an alpha version of, I have teams doing over a weekend. It scares me. I have no idea. It scares me, yeah, but in a good way. In a good way, right? Because it's like, how do I harness that now? Like that, I literally thought they would come back to me in months. Now they're coming back to me in days with like a initial version of a product. So I think for us, it's really made us rethink our entire product development process, how we go from an idea to shipping product it's completely changed. We can think about it differently. And it goes back to what I said before, because of that, the rapid pace at which we can do things, we can fail more, which means we can innovate more. And so it's just the pace of things has just incredibly picked up. Yeah. And then I'll just kind of take that one step further, going back to what we talked about with co-innovation, is it really the time that clients have with us? I mean, we're one of hundreds, thousands of vendors that they're working with that are coming to them with ideas. And so it's always been a struggle, right, to really get the mind space with clients to even think about co-innovation. Well, now, because we can take ideas, prove them out or disprove them relatively quickly, it really unlocks the opportunity working with clients to really go sit with them, understand what are their challenges, what are their opportunities in a 1-hour meeting, and come back, and you could have a prototype solution for them within weeks. And that's just, it's just taken the time frame on which we can do things and just rapidly condensed it.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing across from all clients. So both kinds of projects where you're improving things and then at the same time also thinking completely out of the box for brand new solutions, like with voice agents or, you know, agentic AI. Yeah. Those are the two things that we've been hearing a lot from our customers.
The other thing that a lens at which we're looking at this at DexCare, and I see this, you know, looking at other companies out there, is I've been using the word focus a lot with our teams. We have what we call the three F's within DexCare: focus, fearless, and fast. The focus is really important because AI enables you to become massively unfocused very, very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And so for us, there is enough opportunity staying within the lane that we live in, which for us, you can choose what you want to call it, care orchestration, right? How do we match a patient with the right provider and deal with all the complexity on both sides of that transaction? There is so much that we can do to innovate within that space that it's very easy for us to take, certainly with AI, and start to go outside of that lane very, very quickly. And so what we're really trying to do is stay focused at DexCare to say, let's just really take that care orchestration to a level that we and our clients in the industry never thought was possible, because we have technology that enables us to do that. That's easier said than done, because a client can very easily kind of ask us to do something that's slightly adjacent to our lane. And it's hard to say no to opportunities like that, but it's been a discipline that has really benefited us. And I've talked to other companies within the industry, and they're doing this, they're doing that. And at the end of the day, it's a lot of different businesses almost sitting under one roof of a company. And for us, we really want to just revolutionize what care orchestration means within health systems, and don't really have a desire at this point to get really out of that lane. And so focus is really, really important. This is where AI can actually be your worst enemy, right? Because you could become very unfocused quickly. It wouldn't cost you a lot of money. And so that's kind of an interesting angle on which we're trying to think about it at DexCare, is just keep our focus on our core mission, on our core value prop, and use now that technology disruption to our advantage, not as a distraction.
Great. So Matt, you also spoke a little, you know, about the trilemma in today's world. So that I thought was a very interesting term, and I think our listeners would like to hear more about that. So if you can tell us a little more about the trilemma, that would be really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, the trilemma is a phrase that we coined, you know, within DexCare, which really describes the environment in which we live in when you think about just where we are from a macroeconomic perspective, obviously administrative perspective. So for us, the trilemma is more patients. The stat that we always use is that you've got 11,000 people that are entering the Medicare, Medicaid market every day. But at the same time, we have fewer doctors. When you look at the trend in the next decade, how many providers will be leaving practice, it's astounding. And then the third being is thinner margins, right? And so you've got more patients, fewer doctors, and less money. That's the trilemma. So going back to, you know, take care orchestration as a, how I describe the lane in which we play, the trilemma is the problem we're trying to solve, that or opportunity, if you will, that we're addressing for our health systems is that trilemma. How do we help them get the right patient to the right provider, knowing that more and more patients are coming, expectations on how they interact are changing. At the same time, fewer doctors. And so I would say this out of the trilemma is probably the most complex area, which is not only is there fewer doctors, but you have unused capacity. So that's an interesting challenge, is that you know you need more doctors, yet you have unused capacity. And that's just because of the complexity in health systems, where the data lives, how the workflows are set up, or decision trees. And so you feel like you have fewer doctors are coming, and you're not even using the provider base that you have to the fullest extent. So that's an interesting area. And then obviously the less money. Every client I talk to, right? They're being challenged to do more with less because of the macroeconomic environment. Razor thin margins are getting thinner. And so that really gets into, which is great for us because the value prop or the ROI stories around DexCare, a lot of them are around efficiency. And that's exactly what they need, because they're facing a lot of uncertainty. Not only is there margins compression that's happened since COVID, I think there's just a lot of uncertainty of what the next couple of years are going to look like. So the trilemma is something we talk about every day, right? When it's a really an easy way for us to calibrate with somebody that we haven't met. What are you here to talk to us about? We don't talk about our great product and all the neat features it has. We start with the trilemma, is that you've got more and more patients coming to your door. You've got a staffing issue, whether that be actual physicians, nurses, and at the same time, economically, we know you're strained. And from there, it's very easy to then look at the DexCare platform and see how we can help.
So before we finish the podcast, Matt, we are coming close to the end of this session. Love to have you on more sessions, of course. But for the end of the session, any insights or thoughts that you would like to share with the audience, that anything you, when you look in the crystal ball or looking into the future, like what do you see coming our way, and any parting thoughts for the audience?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm just coming off of, I was in Las Vegas at the Health 2025 conference last week.
Missed meeting you there. I was there too. I missed meeting you there.
Well, and that's the best part about that event is everyone in healthcare is there. It's a nice mix of the different people that are kind of bouncing around the healthcare technology ecosystem. But, you know, I was trying to describe to the company some of my takeaways from that time. And it goes back to something I mentioned earlier, which is the pace at which things are happening. That's what everyone was talking about, right? Is that a lot of the problems or opportunities that we're facing are not new, but the pace at which things are changing, and that's all of us, right? Whether that be health systems, whether that be technology solution providers, whether that be investors in those constituents, things are just happening at a rate that we've never seen before. And it's just exciting, but then, you know, at the same time, daunting at the same time. What that means is that because of that pace of change, I find that everyone is rethinking their business. It's a really interesting time where, whether it be our clients, health systems, ourselves, the other healthcare technology providers, they're all rethinking their business right now. And it's a fascinating thing to step back and look at, because what I also think is that our ability or our opportunity to collaborate together is really, really strong. And that's why I really enjoyed getting out in the market, because we're all rethinking how we do things. It's not like there's companies out there or health systems out there that are the model and we have to just do it like them. Everyone is reinventing themselves right now. And what's super exciting about that is the opportunity that we have to come together and collaborate. And that's why for us, the co-innovation really works, because health systems are rethinking their business and everyone is. And so I just think between the rate of change that's happening, the trilemma that we talked about, it's just an exciting time to be doing what we're doing. And I think you're going to see evolution in healthcare in the next 2 to 3 years that we haven't seen in a decade or decades. What I really encourage everyone to do is lean into collaboration, because I think our ability to share best practices, there's enough opportunity. Like, I think about competitors, there's enough opportunity out there for us that we need to be doing this together. We need to lock arms and figure out, as an industry, how do we make care easier to get and deliver it better? And so it's an exciting time to be in healthcare. And so I go back to what I said earlier. I never thought I'd be in healthcare, but I feel very fortunate right now, because it is an exciting time because of everything that's going on in the industry.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Matt, for sharing those insights. Yeah, rethinking Absolutely. Your business is what we should leave our audience with.
Yeah. And don't feel bad, because we're all
doing it. And collaborate.
Exactly. Great. Well, I appreciate
the time. Thank you.